Now on to letters to the evening news. The NHS walk-in centre is still in the news, and Brian Oldman of Rowton says the financial justification for closure does not add up. The Integrated Care Board, ICB, says the Norwich Walk-in Centre, WIC, costs £1.75 million to treat 72,000 patients annually. This is only £24.30 for each patient. The King's Fund, which monitors NHS expenditure, says the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital gets at least £91 for each patient who goes through the door of its A&E department. If the A&E department had treated those 72,000 WIC patients, it would have cost at least £6.5 million. The WIC closure proposals on the ICB website makes no mention of the impact on the A&E department. Given the state of other local NHS services, the only two options for something that needs immediate attention are WIC or A&E departments. I believe, therefore, that if the WIC closes, there will be even greater pressure on A&E departments and millions of pounds of extra cost to the local health economy. So, far from closing, we need the WIC to continue with current planned economies, such as removing doctors ceased immediately, to retain its attractiveness. If the WIC services and/or diagnostics were widened so that it could treat even more patients, then it could take substantial pressure off A&E departments and save even more millions at the same time. I agree with the opinion already quoted on these pages that the ICB really needs new leadership at the top and a calculator.
Another regular topic of conversation is the now abandoned Western Link Road. Ruth Goodall of Western Longville, a village really affected by the issue, discusses. Richard Hawker asks why Councillor Graham Plant has not contacted Stop the Western Link to discuss what happens next following the withdrawal of the NWL planning application. I have a better suggestion for Mr. Plant, which is to talk first to the residents of Western Longville. Our neighbouring parishes of Hockering and Ringland will both gain from the dualling of the A47, but Western, having two of the remaining routes across the Wensum Valley, will see substantial increases in traffic. We've lived with the worsening problem for more than 30 years and seen several attempts fail to find a solution. We have the local knowledge. What happens next has the greatest impact on our parish, and we shall be an integral part of any future planning.
Sentencing for criminal behaviour is also a hot topic, and Peter Rowlin of Gard Baldisham gives his view. I see that Brian Muirfill is again advocating greatly increased sentences for criminals. What he suggests simply will not work. I give just two examples among very many that exist. The country in the Western world with the most extreme penal policy is the USA. And yet that is the same country with the most ongoing crime. In the past, the greatest incidence of pickpocketing was at the public execution of pickpockets. Increased sentences do not deter crime. It's the fear of being caught that is the most effective deterrent.
J. Ray of Aylsham bemoans the current style of play in professional football. It's not often I agree with Mervyn Lambert's letters. In fact, I don't think I ever have. But I do empathise with him with regards to his observation as to how tedious the way modern football is being played. The players seem to pass the ball to death rather than have much individual technique, like many in the past had, who could dribble with the ball. Perhaps to help football be more attacking, as in rugby, whereby the ball cannot be passed forward, or be it all over the pitch, perhaps there should be a rule in football whereby a player cannot pass the ball backwards in his own half unless it's propelled by the head or parts of the body other than the feet. It may be a bit confusing at first, but it will definitely liven the game up.
Mr. A's views are echoed by Mike Hatley of Newmarket. The letter from J. Ray, this newspaper, April the 1st, about today's football are my thoughts as well. I refereed for over 40 years at all levels, starting in 1962, when we had complete control of the game. Matches lasted for 90 minutes, with perhaps a few minutes of extra time. Now, with VAR and all the new rules, they often last for up to 105 minutes, and spectators never really know what's happening. Let's go back to how it used to be and be enjoyed by all.
Finally, in response to an earlier letter, regular correspondent Steve Mackinder champions tea drinking. If, according to Rachel Moore, tea is old-fashioned and for the oldies, then sign me up. As a consummate tea drinker, I find myself increasingly baffled at our obsession with bland coffee, and particularly the trendy need to mindlessly swig a cardboard pot of soapy froth through a plastic lid as you walk the streets. Invariably, it's tepid mediocrity and sometimes worse. But when you're paying up to £5 for this dubious pleasure, I wonder at people's sanity and disposable income. This high street petrol station coffee shop phenomena brings with it a relentless flurry of street or roadside litter. And frankly, I'm sick of seeing discarded cardboard cups blowing across my path. It's revolting and adds to the general air of decline and grubby indifference to the environment. A pot of tea and a pottery mug suits me every time. Do yourself a favour and go retro. Drink tea, save the planet, save money, and when you do have a coffee, drink it mindfully. Otherwise, what's the point?